1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, the Bears traded Anthony Miller. What does that mean? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with David Kaplan, the host of Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN Chicago and the host of the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago. We talk with him about the Cubs' rebuild, what the Bears could do for this season, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. But no games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. Before the Justin Fields draft pick by the Bears, do we recall the incompetency? Do we recall the problems with this team? How bad Ryan Pace was at drafting, how Matt Nagy couldn't coach Mitch, how there were active calls to fire both of them back in January. I have proof, in case you forgot. I can show you screenshots and tweets, images, comments on my videos. Hashtag fire Pace. Hashtag fire Nagy. Got them all over the place. I find it funny how all of that criticism went away just because of one draft pick. I want to read you this stat from at PFF underscore Brad. 2016, right up in the first round for Leonard Floyd. 2017, right up in the first round for Mitch Trubisky. 2018, right up in the second round for Anthony Miller. Quite the impressive stretch of wasted draft capital. Let's not forget, too, that Ryan Pace's first pick was Kevin White. Kevin White! Who barely played a game for the Bears and got hurt and was gone. Now you all understand why I didn't want the Bears to trade up again for Field. Had nothing to do with the player. Had everything to do with the track record. That's why to this day, I want to see Fields play before I buy in fully. Do I see potential? 100%. But you will not see me say MVP, Super Bowl champion, great player, franchise player until I see some sort of results. You may have forgotten about what the Bears did, about how incompetent they were, about all the issues that plagued the organization, but guess what? I didn't. I didn't forget about all the first round, second round draft whiffs by this team. I didn't forget about them trading up too much, spending too much on a quarterback position that didn't need all that money put into it, having salary cap issues. Now an aging defense. I have not forgotten about any of that. Maybe you have. Everyone's in La La Land talking about Justin Fields. Great. Great quarterbacks overcome issues like this. So I wish him the best. But the fact of the matter is, as of right now, the Bears are technically still incompetent. Fields hasn't played yet. We don't know what to expect. So I want you to keep that in mind when I read you this story. Source: Houston Texans acquire Anthony Miller in a trade with the Chicago Bears. The Bears traded up to draft Miller in the second round in 2018, and he led the team with 7 touchdown catches that season, and Miller has caught just 4 touchdowns since then. In January, the wide receiver was ejected from the Bears' playoff loss to the New Orleans Saints for fighting. We all remember that. I said that day, it's over. When Matt Nagy cornered him, talked into his ear, I said, he's done. Nagy told him, you're done. Your career in Chicago is over. And sure enough, it is now. I'm going to put this bluntly, and I really don't care who I offend. Anthony Miller is a bust. Say what you want. You could try and stick up for him. I've seen people say he needs a new change of scenery. No, he's a bust. He's a bust of a player. The Bears made a big mistake by even drafting him, let alone trading up to get him. That was a joke. You trade up for a number 2 wide receiver because what? You thought he'd be Alshon Jeffrey or something? Didn't work. I saw people say, well, why didn't he stay? Well, what's the need for him? If you all believe in Darnell Mooney, then goodbye Anthony Miller. Darnell Mooney's now the number 2. Now, if Darnell did not pop off in the way that he did, Miller would still have a purpose here in Chicago. There'd still be a reason to keep him. There is no reason. I'm of the philosophy that you should always go with the younger guy. So, for example, last year with the whole Mitch and Nick thing, we all knew from day one what Nick Foles was capable of. There was no ambiguity. There was no, well, maybe he'll be an MVP. No. We knew his ceiling. We knew what he did before. We knew he was aging. We knew he wouldn't replicate anything. Trubisky, on the other hand, we didn't really know. Something could have changed. Maybe he could have replicated 2018. Maybe Matt Nagy would have catered to his strengths a bit more, and things could have gotten better. And in the end, Trubisky did have the better numbers and did rally the team to a playoff appearance. They went with the younger guy. There's no bias there. It's just a fact. A younger guy, no matter what position, has more potential. We've seen less of him, which means he has more of a possibility to improve. That's just a fact. So in this case, when you have on your roster Allen Robinson, who's a fit at number 1, then Anthony Miller, Darnell Mooney, Daz Newsome, Javon Wims, Riley Ridley. When you evaluate that group, you have to ask yourself, who's youngest, who has the most potential, and who do we already kind of know about? Anthony Miller was the odd one out. Darnell Mooney's going to have a big year this year. Be the first to tell you. Huge season. His potential's through the roof. Daz Newsome was put on the PUP list, but when he comes back, I really think he's going to be good too. Sneaky good. Riley Ridley has never really played. You have no impression on him. Javon Wims, I think, is a bust, but he's younger than Miller. Maybe he could be coached. Maybe with the right quarterback, he could succeed. Miller's had Mitch and Nick. Miller had a great rookie year despite having no quarterback and has regressed since. So it proves that it's not a quarterback issue. Guy had 7 touchdowns his rookie year. He was supposed to get better. Didn't. Got worse. Caused fights on the field. It wasn't worth keeping it. Now, fortunately, I didn't see too many people heard about this move. I think everybody kind of accepted it and understood. That's the correct way to look at it. Whenever you make a decision in life, always go with what presents more potential. Not just a sports thing, life thing. Whatever you have the most potential in, that's what you go with. The Bears made a smart decision, for once. The problem is they made a stupid decision in the beginning by even drafting and moving up to take Anthony Miller. To me, he's a bust. You could say second-round wide receiver, they never work out, doesn't matter. They gave up precious draft capital to get this. To get 11 touchdowns in 3 seasons, fighting, ejections, and no performance. Tell me how that's acceptable. Explain to me how that's not being a bust. If you move up for anybody and they don't work out, automatic bust. Love how people say busts only count in the first round. They don't. Second round applies too. When you move up for a wide receiver, take him out of Memphis, you expect him to be a legit threat on the offense and he can't produce, that's the definition of a bust. It would be different if they moved up to get him. But even then, second round wide receiver, good player, scouting report was good. He was supposed to be a mid-level to high-level talent in the NFL. Didn't work. Now he's going to Houston. The part that's shameful is that if Houston somehow keeps Deshaun Watson, which we don't know yet, guaranteed he'll do well. Guaranteed. With Deshaun Watson, he'll do great. Deshaun Watson is a generational talent. Off-the-field stuff aside, if we're talking about just on-the-field performance, Deshaun Watson makes everybody better. So if the Texans somehow keep Watson, and if he plays, Miller's going to have a great year. And Chicago Bears fans are going to be shaking their heads, but at the end of the day, it's not worth the headache. And we don't know what the Bears got back from Miller. I'm sure everybody's going to be enraged when we find out. And when everyone does, I'll do another video about it. But it doesn't really matter. Let's make sure expectations are realistic here. What do you expect for a bust of a second-round pick, wide receiver, 3 years in the league, no performance? I'm expecting maybe, if they're lucky, seventh-round pick. That's it. What more could you offer? What more do you deserve to get for a guy of Miller's caliber? That's the question. I know what the answer is. Zero. That's why I can't believe the Bears actually found a trade partner. I'm like shocked over here. Because Anthony Miller, not a good player. Not a good receiver. Bust. Damaged goods. By the way, Miller joined 12 other wide receivers on the Texans roster. So just because he got traded to Houston doesn't mean he'll even play. Maybe he'll get cut. That's another thing, too. So his career's really taken a tailspin. I feel bad, but I don't. Because, again, at least control your emotions. Don't fight on the field. Don't cause fights. Don't eject yourself and take your team out of a playoff game against New Orleans when you were in it. And then you do something stupid and get ejected. And the regression was just mind-boggling. He scored all that with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. So my point is then, you can't blame it on the quarterback. You can't blame his performance on bad quarterbacking when he had a great year with Mitch. So I do really hope things work out for him. But I'm not expecting much. And to me, he's a bust. Plain and simple, Anthony Miller is a bust. Oh, but he wasn't drafted in the first round. Doesn't matter. The Bears gave up draft capital to get him. Told you about that stat earlier. The Bears have traded up for Leonard Floyd, Mitch Trubisky, Anthony Miller. They drafted Kevin White. The Bears have actually had a lot of issues in the past with drafting. And just because of one draft pick that's unproven, everyone's willing to sweep that under the rug. I'm not. I remember. I'll always remember. Hold your teams accountable. This trade should enrage some Bears fans. I mean, really? You move up for him, expect him to be great, 3 years in, doesn't work, trade him. So you gave up draft capital to get him, you're not going to get anything back for him. So in the end, it's a net loss for everybody. Think about it that way. And this happened after the Justin Fields pick. Remember that too. So for those of you who admonish Ryan Pace and say great job for Justin Fields, remember that around Justin Fields and with receivers and other talent, he screwed up big time. He's not off the hook for me unless he wins a Super Bowl. Ryan Pace is not off the hook for what he did, for his moves over his career here in Chicago. There's nothing wrong with holding people accountable. I know Bears fans are excited and happy. New quarterback, new look team. Oh, they're going to be good again. Remember that everything isn't perfect yet. And it won't be for some time, really. I just had David Kaplan on. You'll hear it in a minute if you're listening. He told me the same thing. We don't know what to expect truly from Fields yet. We don't know. He may sit all year, never play. He may play week 4, week 5. Great. But still, we don't know how he's going to perform. That's not being a hater. That's being realistic, too. Sick of hearing people say, I'm being a hater. There is no hatred here. It's called tempering your expectations and understanding what's going on here. The fact of the matter is, he has not played a game yet. So let's see what happens. And until then, I'm going to have my eyes and my ears focused on Ryan Pace for what he did. This was a sham of a trade. I'm happy he's gone. But I want you to remember in your head what the Bears did to get Anthony Miller, now what they're getting back. All in all, it's a net loss. Again, you trade up to get him. Expect him to be this great wide receiver. Doesn't work. Trade him. I guarantee you, at best, they're getting a 7th round pick. Which means that's a net loss. Another net loss for this team. I just want you to remember that the incompetency is not over because of one draft pick. To this day, for the Bears, there are still questions. There are still needs that have to be addressed that haven't been. One quarterback, 99% of the time, is not going to change the entire outlook. Very few NFL quarterbacks win on their own. There are a couple. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady to an extent. He still needs certain players. Very few quarterbacks have nothing and win. Justin Fields will need something to help him. And if the Bears continue with their strategy and continue to act like they have before, as in moving up to get Miller, then trading him for a net loss, having issues drafting wide receivers, losing possibly Allen Robinson at the end of the year, all of these things will add up. That's something you have to be concerned about. This Anthony Miller trade might seem completely insignificant to you. So what? The Bears had a net loss. Well, could have future ramifications. Or it could prove to you that just because of one draft pick, it doesn't mean the Bears are okay now. Doesn't mean Ryan Pace is a great GM now. It doesn't mean you should have written apology letters to him on social media after the Fields pick. Remember, he still has to find a supporting cast for him. It's not going to help anybody if Fields is great, tearing it up, and there's no supporting cast and they go 7-9 every year, 7-10. Not going to work. So always keep that in the back of your head. It's not that Fields is going to be bad, but you have to have a supporting cast. And this trade with Anthony Miller, well, it's a loss. You move up to get him. And at best, you're getting a late, late round draft pick in return after 3 years of investing in him. That pattern can't continue for the Bears. That's why, as insignificant as this news seemed, there's a lot of signaling behind it. And if you catch it, you'll realize what's really going on. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with David Kaplan comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the host of Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago. Please welcome David Kaplan to the program. Cap, it's great to have you on. How are you?
John, thanks for having me, man. Good to be with you.
So, Cap, what's your take on the Cubs season, first off?
Well, I think when you build a rotation of Kyle Hendricks at the top, and Adbert Alzolay, and then it's Arrieta, Trevor Williams, Zach Davies, Alec Mills. You already know going into the season you're not trying to win. So this didn't surprise me. They got off to a poor start. They had a good month of May, and, you know, I kept saying, go get Max Scherzer or one of these starters that might be available, but don't do it yet. Let's let this thing play out and see where we're at. And letting it play out, they're under 500, and it's not a good enough team. I know people are disappointed, but it's kind of what we expected. I had the Chicago Cubs, I think, 82-80. I think Fangraph's projections had them 78 wins, and they're probably going to be closer because I think there's a big sale coming. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Who do you expect to go in that sale?
I don't see Chris Bryant still here. I keep hearing it's, you know, close to getting done that Rizzo won't be here. Obviously, Craig Kimbrell, I would think, won't be here. Maybe Andrew Chafin, maybe Ryan Tepera. So, yeah, they're going to try and Buster only says Javi Baez is in play. So, look, if you can get good players back that will impact winning on the next Cubs run, there's nobody short of Wilson Contreras who I would build around and keep him as my catcher. There's really nobody that I wouldn't trade.
Is that disheartening to you as a Cubs guy to see this whole core kind of go away?
No, because they never got back to the World Series. That team never reached that height again. They went to 5 out of 6 years to the playoffs. They made some poor decisions in who they drafted. Poor decisions in player development, poor decisions in some deals that they made, whether that's signing Jason Hayward for $184 or, you know, trading for Jose Quintana when you gave up a ton. So, yeah, no, that it does not. What I find disheartening is that a team with those types of revenues is in a position they've got to rebuild for the second time in 8 years. That's disheartening.
Who's to blame, in your opinion? Is this? Are multiple people to blame? Is there someone specific that you pin it on?
No, I don't think you can pin it on anyone. I mean, players didn't perform at the level that we were assuming they would coming out of a World Series championship in 2016. Their offense, their team former team president said, was broken. Our offense is broken after 2018, and they did nothing to fix it. So, you know, you can change all the hitting coaches you want. It's on the players. So, yeah, there's just a number of factors that is the reason that the Cubs struggled.
How many World Series do you think they should have won with this talent and this roster?
Well, to say they should have won, I mean, that's look, to win, you got to be incredibly lucky. You got to get great breaks. So to say they should have won more, those guys didn't perform. So maybe 2016 was truly the outlier, and what we saw for the 5 years after 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, maybe that's who they really are, and we just caught lightning in a bottle in 2016. So I can't tell you they should have won anymore.
When do you see them being competitive again?
What is management's appetite to spend big money to bring in some star quality players? And then how far away are the prospects you either have or will acquire in multiple deadline deals to get those guys to the big leagues? That's really how I answer that question. Ed Howard, who they drafted in the first round in 2020, Ed Howard's not ready to be the everyday shortstop. Brennan Davis, I don't think is far away, but I don't think he's ready to be the everyday right fielder, left fielder, center fielder, wherever you want to put him. So you've got a number of guys that have to develop, a number you've got to acquire. And then are you going to go out and if you trade Javi Baez, who's your shortstop next year? Are you going to spend the money to get Trevor Story? That's an upgrade. Are you going to spend the money to get two number one type starters? That's really expensive. So there's a number of things that have to fall right before I can answer that. I would hope they're contending by 2024. 2023 at least be a solid team, but I don't have great expectation for next year.
Do you trust them in at least managing the rebuild and getting back to a point where they were in 2016?
Sure, I trust them because it's basically, other than Theo, the same management team. And I think Jed is a very smart guy and has a great track record of success. I don't hold David Ross, you know, incredibly culpable for this. I know everyone likes to point at the manager always, but you gave him a rotation that wasn't good enough to win with. And you have a team that's not good enough to win with. So I think David's done all he could possibly do. It's just, this is a process. It's going to take time to, whether you want to call it a retool, a rebuild, whatever it is, it's not something that's going to happen overnight.
David Kaplan here on Sports Talk Chicago. Cap, let's talk Bears now. Is Justin Fields the savior for this team?
He better be down the road. If you're talking about, is he the savior for this year? They don't want to see him on the field if they can help it. They want him to develop. That's all they want. Justin Fields to develop. And at the end of this season, when 2021 season closes, the question is, was he already pushed into play some point this coming season? I don't care what their record is. Again, I don't want him to go 0-17, but the question is, at the end of the year, have you done all you can to make sure Justin Fields is ready for a 8 to 10 year run as the face of your franchise and one of the top 10 quarterbacks in football? Because if you haven't, then what are we doing here? So I don't know if he's the savior this year. He should be the savior down the road.
You like the idea of sitting him a couple of games or even sitting him all year to give him time to develop?
Yeah, I don't have a problem if they feel the best thing for him is to sit. I'm okay with it. If they feel he should play from day one, I'm going to trust that Matt Nagy knows what he's doing, that Ryan Pace and these guys have an idea of how they're going to develop this guy. And then, because if I want to micromanage their process, I wasn't an NFL coach. I never played in the NFL. I'm not an NFL scout. They feel like it worked at Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years before he played. You can go back to Brett Favre sitting in Atlanta before he came to Green Bay. There's a lot of guys that also have shown you they can play from day one. So I'm going to trust their process. All I care about is what is the best thing for the future of the Bears. I'm not hell-bent on what they've got to do this year.
Let me ask you this. What makes him the best moment in Chicago sports when he hasn't played yet? Why do you say that?
I said that because if you really think about it, the Cubs are going in the wrong direction, starting a rebuild. The White Sox haven't won anything yet. Now, I think they're by far the hottest franchise in our town. The Bulls are in the midst of a rebuild. The Blackhawks haven't been in the playoffs since 2016. So that comment that I made was, what's the best moment Chicago sports since the Cubs won the World Series? Is it the Bears in 2018? Well, they got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, and the double doink is something that will live on in infamy here. So name me something that, oh my goodness, the city is just on fire because of. It's the drafting of Justin Fields.
What's his potential to you? What have you seen from him that makes you excited about him?
Well, I watched him play basically every game because I'm an Ohio State fan. I think that this is a guy with a huge upside. I don't think the floor is incredibly low. So if he doesn't play at the all-pro level we all hope he plays, I don't think he's going to be horrible either. I think they've got a real solid football player with the chance to be a really, really outstanding player. So that's what I really like about this kid.
Did this pick extend the time frame for Matt Nagy as coach?
It should. I mean, what are you going to do, bring this kid in, have him learn a complex offense, have him develop a relationship with Matt Nagy and his staff, and then because you went 7-10 this year, we're going to change coaches and change GMs and change philosophies? And that's what bad organizations do. If you're going to draft this kid, you got to let these guys develop him.
When should a playoff appearance be expected for the Bears?
Well, there's no reason they can't make the playoffs this year.
Really?
Now, again, I can't tell you who's going to be at quarterback for that, but there's enough talent on that team. You've got a pretty solid offensive line now. I'm not telling you it's the best in football. You got a really good running back. You got weapons to throw the ball to, from Allen Robinson to Darnell Mooney to Cole Kmet to Marquise Goodwin. And then you've got a defense that's getting a coordinator now that's aligned with what Vic Fangio did here. So those guys like playing that style. Sean Desai plays that style. And there's no reason that this team can't win 10 football games and get to the playoffs.
More to come with David Kaplan. In just a moment, stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. David Camp, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Camp, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, how'd you get locked out of your home?
So we have three dogs. Stanley is a rescue dog from the streets of Alabama when there was flooding and a hurricane. He got shipped up to a rescue here, and he's awesome. He's a black lab mix. And Stanley, just like our other two dogs, knows how good he's got it. Sleeps in our bed. Yoshi and Sparky are my other two. A mutt, Yoshi, and Sparky is a purebred Siberian Husky. Well, Stanley has fear of missing out. If I leave for work, he'll give me a little kiss, and off I go. If my wife leaves for work, same deal. If we walk out together, he feels like he's being left behind, so he tries to get out the door with us. We were leaving to go to the farmer's market a week ago Saturday, and he tried to dart out. So we said, all right, let's sneak out the living room door. So we kind of, if you saw the layout of my house, there's an area where he can't get to, and we darted out the front door. My wife locked the handle behind us and went, uh-oh, I don't have my keys, and realized that the door from the house to the garage was double locked from the night before. No keys to get in.
Who let you back in?
Turned out that a friend of my wife's who comes up by and walks our dogs when my wife has a meeting at work, so she can't run home to let the dogs out. She had an extra key. We called her, and our friend Dana said, oh, I'm actually in your area. Just stop by here, and I'll have the key. And we got the key, and we got in. So we were very lucky.
And, Cap, before we finish up today, last question. What's Walk is One? And how are you helping out again this year?
So Walk is One is something that I did last September. I called it a unity walk, and I wear a half Cubs, half Sox jersey. And in this very divided world we live in, I said, I'm going to use sports to raise money for an amazing cause called Bernie's Book Bank. Bernie's Book Bank serves underserved boys and girls in the Chicago area that don't have Wi-Fi, don't have a computer. And especially in a pandemic, they were struggling to get their education and quality study and reading materials. And so I raised $100,000 for Bernie's Book Bank. We're trying to do more than that this year. Last year, I walked home from work 29 miles this year. I think it's a 24.7-mile walk, and I'm going to start at guaranteed rate. I'm going to walk to Soldier Field, to UIC, to DePaul's Wintrust Arena. From there, go up to Wrigley, to Loyola, to Northwestern. So we'll represent all the teams, Red Stars and the Chicago Sky and all five of our men's professional teams, all the college teams, and try and raise as much money as we can for these kids that have it pretty tough at times.
Well, Cal, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on, and obviously best wishes with the walk and best wishes with your programs. You do a great job. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me, man. Have a great day, all right?
Thank you. Great talk there with David Kaplan, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to David Kaplan himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTaub, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No!
Here are the Turtles!